Hi, welcome back. You're listening, or watching, if you're on the YouTubes, the Chasing Tone podcast. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
I'm Brian.
Yes, sir. All right. So we got some. What are you looking at up there?
Is the GoPro on?
Yeah, we're on. We're good.
Why do you Brian's pointing to it. He's like,
why do you got to judge me?
I don't see a blinking red light on that, dude.
Look, boss, I don't care what you see. I see the numbers counting. Right?
I can count too. That doesn't numbers mean don't lie. It doesn't mean I'm working if I'm counting.
Yeah. That's all I do. I thought I got paid to just go one, two.
Do we look like mathematicians?
Yeah, I know, right? Guys that do sound checks, they get paid to count, right?
Yeah, that's
one, two, one, two, one, three.
Geriatric right? German grandma spanking Spanish man.
And then the word they say sibilance over. Sibilance.
What is sibilance?
I don't know. I'm not smart, Max.
It's like syphilis with sibilance.
It's like similar to syphilis.
Who's the one that was like testing a mic and they said, let's say sibilance?
Yeah. Yeah. Who's the first person to do that? And who's the first person? Why?
If you're the first person to do that, email us. We'll send you a free shirt.
Yeah, we'll send you a free t-shirt for your contribution to the musical society.
What do they do before microphones, Brian?
They roll up a piece of paper.
Big cone.
Yeah, like one of those cheerleading things from back in the day. Yeah.
Megaphone, dude.
Yeah. But have a good show, see?
Analog megaphone.
Is that the call's megaphone? Is that the...
Yeah, that...
Break. You gotta do that noise, you know the translation. Anyways.
And that's guitar tone.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it's all about. So we got some, Max actually came up with this. It was a good idea. He was telling me some things he does to improve his pedal board. Now, when somebody says, what do you do to improve your pedal board? What could you do? I think of a lot of different things. And Brian mentioned a few as well, none of which are the things that Max pointed out.
And probably not what people think we're going to say.
Yeah.
So before the show, we're just kind of spitballing about this topic. And I said, one thing I like to do, and it's super nerdy, but
no.
Yeah, I know, right? Me nerdy, no way. But underneath my pedal board, I have all the, you know, the power cables coming out from my power supply, and it's all like a big wiry mess. So I go to the hardware store and just buy like $3 plastic wiring harness and like stick all the loose wires in there and like zip tie it. It's like they don't like hang and they look nice and neat.
And I said, I do the same thing.
And I said, really?
And I said, no.
So evidently, I'm wrong again.
If anyone's seen my pedal board pictures like on Instagram or anything like that, they always, it's like just, there'd be like an 8-foot cable between pedals because I couldn't find a patch cord.
Yeah.
Just stuff kind of arranged in places. I'm like, I'll just zip tie this dude down. I'm going to change it anyways.
I think a picture of my pedal board is actually on Instagram as of today, the day we're recording this.
Yeah.
It looks clean.
Yeah. Well, no, mine is super clean. But the problem is I use George L's. And that's not the problem. The problem is I cut them to a certain length, a specific length for my board. And then I started using pedals with top mount jacks.
Right.
So now it's a pain. Yeah, now it's
a mixture is a pain.
Yeah, exactly. So but some things I do, like here's a big one, you know, buffer.
Yep.
That was what you said.
Yeah, that if I was going to say the five things that you need to do that you can do to your pedal board right now, other than we're not even talking about buying pedals.
Right.
Necessarily. I'm just saying you need a buffer of some sort. So you could even take like, let's say you have a Boss SD1, which is like a $40 pedal or whatever. I mean, just throw that dude on the front and leave it off. It'll buffer just fine.
Right. So that's something too. You know, a lot of people think that pedal is only working as a buffer when it's engaged.
Yeah, that's not correct.
Yeah, right.
When it's off, it actually has two buffers in the signal path.
Right. One, front and the end, right?
Yep.
Yeah. So, you know, I just kind of want to throw that out there because a lot of people are like, well, I'll use a Boss pedal, but you know, I understand it's a buffer, but it's not like I'm leaving my tuner on all the time. And I'm like, you don't have to leave it on. It's
right.
Just buffering the signal.
So, yeah.
Kind of a nerdy thing that I did was I got washers and I put them on the posts underneath the knobs for a little resistance so I can transport my pedal
case.
That's
a great idea.
Rubber washers.
Yeah.
And in fact, I thought about it one time, like getting, and they may make them, I don't know, but I thought about making little felt pieces that fit underneath the knob. Just fit over the pot.
Right.
And that way, I mean, like thick, something thick that would have a little bit of resistance for knobs.
Dude, you know? Talk to me later because I know exactly what it is.
Really?
Yeah. It works perfect.
Taking it, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's perfect.
Are you doing it now?
Huh? I do it. Yeah. I do
what,
it on my
what
board.
What is it?
It's a number 10 O-ring.
O-ring? Like, yeah. What, I mean, O-ring like, from a car? Or?
No. Like for
like
a home.
For a hose.
Yeah. Right? For like a hose or something.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You just go to your home improvement store.
Yeah.
And then just get the number 10 O-ring.
Wow, and does it stick does it stay?
No, yeah, it stays.
So you put the washer and the nut over the top of it, right? Use it like a...
No. I just take the set screw out of the knob.
Okay.
And then I put the washer or the O-ring on top or around the pot, obviously. Okay. And then I put the knob back down.
Okay, so you don't take the nut off or anything like that?
No. Okay. And the thing is it adds just enough resistance to where, you know, if you go to hit your pedal with your foot, you know, turn it on, and you accidentally nudge one of the knobs. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you nudge it hard enough, it's going to move, but not like it normally would.
Right.
But if you want to reach down with your hand and turn it, it still turns fine.
That's a great idea, man.
Yeah.
You know what I've done in the past?
What?
Loosen up the set screw, hit the top of it.
No, you don't do that.
If it breaks, I can fix it.
Yeah, fair enough.
But for everybody else.
Speaking of which, you should fix my fan. It's hot in here.
It is hot in here. It's because of Max.
I tripped up. He said you're hot. He said you're hot.
I don't know how to feel about that.
Is that sexual harassment?
Harassment.
But no, that's a tip that I use that I, you know, I swear by.
It's a great idea.
Man. Yeah. So, I mean, that's one of like, I think they're like 12 cents a piece.
Yeah.
You know,
we should patent
pack
those.
A 10 for now.
I told you that a year ago and you were like, I'd rather just, you know, put them in the box with the pedal, you know? And I'm like, but you can't make money off that.
But I mean, yeah, I know. Yeah. But I mean, I think the guitar business is kind of that way in general. I mean, there's a lot of, especially in the pedal business. I mean, there's a lot of guys that are just like, you know what? Okay. I could charge 20 cents
or
a buck for each one. And it's costing me 10 cents and I'll make a couple bucks.
Right.
But I think the bigger majority of, especially us guys.
It'll make your pedals more attractive.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, do something for the customer.
You know? Right, of course.
There's something there for them, so.
Yeah, like a canvas bag.
For the knobs being
tighter?
No,
for the pedal. I know. Seriously, no, I mean, seriously, that's one thing I dig, man. Like,
that's true.
Before, it makes it like more legit, you know? It's like, man, you buy a Boss pedal, it's like, it's cool, it's in a box, you pick it out, you know? And I think it might be in like some wrapper or something. Mm-hmm. But you get a Wampler. And you're like, sweet, a canvas bag. I'm going to keep that. And you don't even know why. And then next thing you know, you have like 10
I
mean,
when we first started doing that, I'd get a few people email me like, dude, I've got a bag for my weed now. Thanks.
I'm not saying I did or didn't, but Big Muffs used to come in a wood box. I'm just saying, if some people I know have done that. Not me necessarily, but it makes a great box for that. If you
just
were
other
use,
people you know
other people.
That when they were the exact same age as you, they bought a Big Muff in a wooden box
that slid back. Yeah, it's a little stash box.
See, Max,
for guitar picks, loose change, whatever, you know.
Max used to do drugs. He still does, but he used to, too.
No, he
doesn't at all. That's a Mitch Hedberg joke. That's... You can go look at Mitch Hedberg.
Is beer a drug?
Huh? Yes.
And I still do trucks.
you do the beer.
I do the beer. I love the beer.
So another improvement to the pedal board. I mean, as stupid as it sounds, some people still haven't grasped Velcro, man.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And it seems like someone's always looking like for a better way to secure pedals.
Right.
You know, and I over the years, I've seen people have like, it's almost like a figure eight looking sort of washer where you take the screws out of the bottom and then you screw it into your pedal board.
I know exactly what you're talking about.
And it's kind of, it's like, God, that's a pain in the butt.
Could you imagine wanting to change pedals?
Especially for me, like the middle of the gig, like, hold on guys, I know we were playing this song, but I need anybody got a cordless drill anywhere?
Number two bit.
Number two bit.
You know, so my thing though is tidiness. That's the big thing for me. Cause like, you know, I make fun of you for what you said, but if you look at my board, you really can't see any cable on top. And I have, you know, a true bypass.
Yours is super neat. Yeah.
I have a true bypass, you know, looper. So that's five channels. So there's 12 cables, plugs right there, you know, two for each pedal, then an in and an out.
Can I be honest though?
Yeah.
And not to slam any certain company, but I've never had good luck with George Ellis on a pedal board.
Right.
It's always like, especially if there's multiple pedals, if it stays stationary, they sound great.
Right.
But me, like, moving stuff all the time, it just seemed like I always would loosen one up. Probably because they're not soldered, I guess.
Right. But. Well, the thing is, it's kind of like I talked to you the other day, because I got this wireless system now, and I need to solder. I want to put in and out on the front end of my pedal board, but I use a pedal train, so I got to drill through it. You know?
Right, yeah.
But, you know, I think you looked at me like, well, why would you do that? And my answer was, and like I said, I'm not trying to dog the company because I use them, but I said, you know, I'm trying to stay away from ever touching the cables.
Right.
Because anytime you swap out cables or anything, something that's not soldered, you know, they're, you run that risk for failure.
Right.
So I don't ever want to touch any of my cables. So I can just plug into the front of the board. And then, obviously, I have a wireless, so I never have to plug in.
And there's no worse moment on stage whenever you're getting ready to hit the solo, and you hit the pedal and nothing.
That's why I have a true bypass looper.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Unless one of the cables going in the true bypass looper goes bad.
Yeah, good point. But, yeah, because... I'm trying to think. No, I don't. I was about to say, I think I have a dirt pedal that's not in the loop. Mm-hmm. So if something were to go wrong, I could still go to that one.
Right.
But like I don't. I don't. But I always keep an extra dirt box in my gig bag just in case. Yeah. So I guess I do have a little of that anal retentiveness, you know?
Just being prepared, man.
Just being prepared. Like, what is that? Boy Scout?
Boy Scout.
Were you a Boy Scout?
I was a Boy Scout.
That doesn't surprise me.
Yep.
I'm not saying that's bad. Scout's honor. See what I did there? Yeah. You gotta do your whistle. You need your. Yeah.
As Max is making the whistling noise, he's going around in a circle.
Yeah.
Showing completion of
an idea. Full circle. So, I mean, that's really all I got as far as improving the pedal board. I find that the neater it is, the less failure you have. You know,
yeah, that's probably true. That's probably why I have so many bad problems with the cables.
Yeah, I mean, you're probably right.
8 foot patch cables and stuff.
Yeah, but didn't you say a certain session player used to, I don't want to say tech for, but used to help him out quite a bit and put boards together for him? You said you were using those specific cables and he always had problems.
But. Yeah, because, I mean, you're taking it out of its place, putting it in the studio, taking it, put it back in the case, put, you know, it's like every day moving it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what he does.
And it's not necessarily you doing it. It's someone who's doing cartage. And they may or may not feel like being gentle that day, you know?
Yeah.
If they're just like, throw it in place, you know? I mean, just stuff like that happens. But imagine being on a session, you know, with a well-known person, and they're like, all right, guitar. And you're like, Nothing.
Oh crap.
What do I do?
I was watching a video with you and him, and he was talking about, he's like, now I'm in the studio. So, because he was talking about, does he have a switcher for his amp heads?
Yeah.
And he was like, see, I'm in the studio, so I got the time. Da 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 da. And I'm thinking to myself, as a guy that's paid for studio time, I'm like, it's just the exact opposite for me. It's like, I need to be as fast as I possibly can because I'm poor. He's like, I'm in the studio. I got all the time I need, you know? And I'm like, yeah, when you can nail it in one take, yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, all right, nail it and make it perfect. Okay.
Yeah, like, it's so funny. When I did my second record, I hired basically my dream band. I like Stevie Ray Vaughan and, you know, Reese Winans was a keyboard player, so he played the keys on it. But everybody in that band would do things in one take. And and there was times I messed up my own songs, and they had it right. And I was like, are you kidding me? You know? Yeah, they're unreal down there. So I could see they had time. I didn't.
You're too busy learning your parts, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, my own parts, my own song.
Exactly.
So another topic here that Max came up with, that when and why would you want to use either a clean boost or a light overdrive? And let me finish here. With the light overdrive, what's the big buzzword lately? Transparent.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
If you want a transparent overdrive, then don't you want a clean boost? You know what I mean? I mean, I get that question a lot.
Yeah, that's true, man. And the truth is, if you really want an actually, truly transparent overdrive, like literally transparent, it's not going to sound good.
Because, right.
I mean, it's going to have too much. It's probably gonna have too much bass to it.
Too much of everything.
Yeah, and it's gonna have, after it clips, after it distorts, it's gonna have such a lot of high frequency harmonic content. It's gonna sound really, really fizzy.
Yeah,
you know. So I mean, like, for example, the Euphoria is fairly transparent.
Right.
If
it's perceived transparency.
I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know what I mean? You're playing guitar, it's a pretty transparent, overdriven tone.
Right.
Now, from a design perspective, you're like, okay, well, I have to change this part of it, and I have to change
to make
this
it
part
sound
of it
transparent.
To make it sound transparent. You know what I mean? So.
Yeah. So, I mean, and that's the thing, too, and that's why people like the Klon, I think. You know, because it mm-hmm. has that, like, well.
I don't really associate Klon with transparency.
Some people do, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, it's got a mid-range really thing, too.
Yeah, to me, it's got, I think I showed you the pictures, but I built one for Max.
Yeah.
And to me, it has, like, this weird low-mid thing.
I love
that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely a low-mid thing.
Yeah, man. It's a weird low, it's mm-hmm. like a, to me, that's what that pedal is, though. Like, right. When I heard it, because... You know, I just followed the layout and everything, mm-hmm. and I built it, and it worked the first time, and I was like, man, I'm lucky. But,
yeah, because he almost bought a Soul Food, and it's like,
yeah, just recased it.
Built this for you, Max.
Yeah, here you go,
son. Change it up, color.
Yeah. But anyway, you know, I plugged it in. I was like, oh, yeah, it sounds like a Klon. But, you know, you were saying you could use it after... an overdrive, right?
Yeah, I use it actually after a Tube Screamer.
Okay.
That's
killer. Yeah. Oh, I bet that would be a good combination.
Yeah, maybe somebody should make
that's
like,
our
that
next
combination.
That's the Clarksdale Screamer. The Clarksdale
Deluxe. Deluxe. Or as we'll just call it, the Klon Screamer.
The Klon Screamer.
The Klon Screamer. Plus it has patent, those patent brass penny. Knobs on
yeah.
it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and it had the copper knobs on it.
Copper
it
was, knobs. Yeah.
Oh, those knobs were awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's from BYOC, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow, those knobs are really cool.
Those
I like
cool.
those.
But, you know, so that's the thing with, okay, so another thing I want to get into, and it's, some people are going to listen to this and go, really? Somebody doesn't know the difference? And then there's going to be other people who say, okay, well, that clears it up.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. You know, let's go there. The difference between gain and volume, you know, and that's it, because gain does affect volume.
Well, technically, with more gain, you get more volume.
Exactly.
You know?
So, I mean, and I get it. I understand. And you know, I learned it with, you know, recording techniques. You
right,
know,
right.
They used to call it trim.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's like, you know, I learned it that way.
You're shaking my head.
Yeah, I know. Yep. Max cracks me up.
Yep.
But,
yep.
But, you know, maybe you can give them, you know, a more scientific without being nerdy.
Yeah, yeah, I won't go too far into it, but... Okay, basically when most people talk about gain, what they're actually talking about is clipping.
Clipping, yes.
Okay. And because whenever you turn the gain knob up on a pedal, the circuit is set in such a way that it clips more
mm-hmm.
because you're putting more signal through the part that
right.
clips. Mm-hmm. So that I think that's why people tend to associate that. Same way with tube amps. You turn mm-hmm. up the gain on a tube amp, it's sending more signal through the rest of the tubes. So
right.
And each time it goes through a tube, it's going to clip more and more,
mm-hmm.
or JFET, or I mean, single stage gain device. So,
sure.
I'm sure someone's going to email me again saying you're wrong again, dude.
You're what?
Hashtag wrong.
Hash what?
Hash brown wrong.
Yeah, there you go. Boom.
Finally got a hash brown right.
We forgot the tone curtain reference.
Oh, we did forget. Oh, let's do the funny email of the day of
yeah.
the week. I actually forgot. I'll have to pull it up, but it was actually addressed to Dear Tone Curtain, comma Hash Brown, comma and Travis.
And Travis.
Yeah, I was
That's
like,
awesome.
It's like, man, I don't have a cool thing.
You got your own identity. You're your own thing.
Yeah, yeah. Thank you.
Hashtag Travis.
Hashtag Travis.
Hash Brown Travis.
Ooh.
Mm. You need a more specific hashtag like Travis the.
I like what something. Jason said. Jason Jason started one on the Wampler pedals.
Travels with Travis.
Yeah, Travels with Travis. So like anytime we go to...
Brown.
Say what?
MC Hash Brown.
MC Hash Brown.
I think that started we were at like a Meijer or some supermarket like that.
Yeah, I got in trouble at that place.
You got on the motorized carts.
Yeah, for the disabled.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was plugged in. It was plugged in, so yeah. Travis gets on it, and it starts beeping like crazy.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's still like, he's back going forward 3 feet, going back 3 feet, going forward 3 feet.
Yeah.
And they're like, sir,
yeah,
you well, can't be doing that.
Keep in mind, it was after a show. I'd had a few drinks. I remember, I remember I even had my sunglasses on inside, and I'm not that guy.
You did.
You know what I mean? I'm not sunglass inside guy.
You're tilted though.
They've had one too many old duels that day.
Yeah, old duels. Yeah, I was pretty tilted, man. I'm not gonna lie. And then what got me in trouble though, because if you remember, I started going back and forth, right. back and forth, and they were kind of tolerant of that. They're like, "Oh, great, we got another, you know,
right.
I don't want to say, but you got another one of those, right? Right? Another." So I'm doing that, and then what happened was I gassed it a little too hard and forward, and it came unplugged from the wall. And when it came unplugged from the wall, it just let out the shrill beep.
That's right.
And it wouldn't stop. Nothing I did made it stop. Yes. So somebody had to come over and. You work their magic on it. And like, they're looking at me like I should be embarrassed. And of course, I'm just shaking my head like in pride. Like, yeah, man, that's me. I did that.
I would just walk that back to the car. Where'd Max go?
See, not me. I was like, I was owning it. I was like, yes, that was me. Yeah. So that, I think that started the travels with Travis. And then we were someplace and I pointed at a chicken or something. And then. I was arguing with myself in the mirror when I was
You were hammered.
I was hammered.
Arguing with yourself in the mirror.
Yeah. You know, I didn't like what I said to myself. As Max says, trust me, I know me. I'll do it. I've seen me do it. Yeah, that's what you say. Trust me, I know me. I've seen me do it.
What's another thing that we do to pedal boards to...
I'm trying to think, man. The main thing is the buffer, mm-hmm. and kind of, would you say it's redundant to say nice cables if you're using a buffer? I don't want to get into that.
I mean, because, I think so. I really do think so. Yeah. Because even if you're using great cables, but you have a 20-foot cable going to it,
yeah.
and another 20-foot going out to your amp, mm-hmm. you're still going to suffer some degradation without a buffer.
Right, and what's the buzzword there, Max?
Low-pass filter.
Boom. Lopez filter.
It does. It creates a Pez filter.
A Lopez filter.
Lopez filter.
George Lopez filter.
Boom. So many things there.
Yeah, there is. There are.
I think another good thing to use is like a good power source, you know?
Isolated.
Isolated, yeah. yeah. Especially if you have like digital pedals with right. a digital circuit in mm-hmm. them. Not even if they're necessary. Like for example, our tremolo. Mm-hmm. It's the analog signal path. Everything's happening in analog, but it's controlled digitally. Because right. the tap tempo and all that sort of thing. So, I mean, even with that digital circuit in, running everything on like a typical wall wart with daisy mm-hmm. chains, yeah. you're going to have more noise than you would in like a good Voodoo right. Labs or Decibel 11 or,
right.
you know.
And then, well, why not? Why don't you buy one?
Because we have so many laying around the office.
I had to buy mine. Right?
Well,
see?
You're just cheap.
There's a phrase in the industry that I've really come to love, and that's B stock. You know, I just mm-hmm. emailed, got any B stock? Because just about every company
has
some B stock, right?
Because yeah. I mean, people, there's returns for stuff. There's things you've fixed.
And times out of 10, I would say that still has the manufacturer's warranty on it.
Most time, yeah.
You know, like my Voodoo Lab, it just has a sticker on it that says B stock, but it still has a warranty. Right. It's absolutely fine, man.
Yeah, absolutely.
I need to call Voodoo Labs. Voodoo Labs.
Voodoo Labs.
I can call you.
You know what? Max has been too shy to do it, so I'll say it. This guy likes free t-shirts.
I do. I've really? Been, my feelings got hurt a little bit. Every other episode, you guys always have like these cool t-shirts. Like different places, and
this one's from I got the Old Navy.
Old Navy, yeah.
yeah.
Except exception for today, but yeah,
they have great guitar amps. There.
if anybody has like big boy t-shirts,
what size are you, Max? X large?
I'm 2X.
2X. Okay.
Well, technically, I was a large, but I figured since large XL would probably fit better.
All right.
And an XL fits so good, I just went to a 2X.
So let's
just
do this. So let's do this. So on our website, the address, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's our address. Right. So. If you own a company and you want to see Max's handsome face wearing your shirt.
It's a big advertisement. I think of like a whole thing there.
He'll rock it out all day long, man.
I will.
But he's too shy to ask. Like, that's my thing. I go to the shows and if I see them giving out t-shirt, I'll be the fanboy.
Me too. I was like, give me one, dude.
Yeah, I'd be like, I'll trade you a shirt.
People do it to us.
Yeah, exactly.
How many shirts we give out at NAMM?
Oh,
tons of shirts.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's just part of the gig.
Yeah, exactly. So...
So
yeah, that's what you need. So.
Boom.
That's what you should do. Just go to NAMM instead of working. Walk around and ask everybody for shirts.
But then I'd get fired.
But like, how many shirts you'd have?
Yeah, you wouldn't need a job because you'd have clothing.
I wonder if I could pay like bills in t-shirts. Be like, I don't have any money, but I have a lot of t-shirts.
Dude. Okay, this is a true story. I used to give guitar lessons. Mm-hmm. You've probably seen me wear this shirt, but it's a long sleeve black shirt, and it has German writing on the front of it.
No,
but anyways, it's
shows off your pecs. Is that what you're saying?
Not at all, lack thereof. But so I used to teach guitar lessons, and I gave this dude a lesson, and he always paid ahead, and he was a great student, and we became pretty good friends, and. One lesson, he's like, dude, after lesson, he's like, I forgot my wallet. I'm like, okay, no worries. He's like, I can give you some weed. And I'm like, no, sir. No way.
It's hard to buy groceries.
It was in a Big Muff box. But no, I was like, no, that's okay, right? So he was like, wait a minute, I'll be right back. And I'm like, dude, I told the guy no to weed. What the hell is he going to bring in?
Right. Say no.
So he brings in this t-shirt, and he was like, Trade your lesson for this t-shirt. And I didn't even see what was on. I was like, absolutely, because I did not want him to offer me drugs anymore. So it was like, I don't even care what's on this t-shirt. Oh, I'm taking it as payment. But
that's awesome.
Yeah, he has some like a car club for Volkswagen Vanagons or whatever. But so it has something to do with that. But I got some funny looks when I wore that shirt in Germany. Because what it translates to is like, don't drive with your top unfastened for like convertibles.
Gotcha.
So they'd look at that and be like, why?
Duh. What?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was like, so I'd kind of like walk around and hold my hands over it. But
oh, well.
So no, that cracked me up.
What else would you do for a pedalboard? If you're cleaning it up.
If I was cleaning it up.
Or what else could a person do to improve their pedalboard with what they have? I guess not buying any pedals. Let's say that.
Okay, just anything without buying pedals. See, I am anal retentive.
Travis actually gave me a really good tip today. I didn't know.
What's that?
When you stick your pedal, if you're using Velcro.
Oh yeah, it's true. Yeah.
Yeah. If you wiggle it, for those of you watching, wiggle it side to side while it's on the board.
Mm-hmm.
Ever get done wiggling it side to side like really fast? It'll be like concrete. Yeah. You literally have to be like a screwdriver and pry it off your board.
Yeah, a lot of people think you just put the pedal there and it's right. good, and that does work, but. I'm so nerdy, man. I was watching that show, How It's Made. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? And then they were like going over Velcro, and it showed that like it was actually a series of hooks hook into a series of loops.
Really?
Yeah. If you like on a microscopic level. So I put the pedal down, and then I just kind of like twisted it back and forth,
hooking the loops.
Yeah, hooking the loops, right? And dude, it is like you literally have to get a screwdriver or like get both hands and like put a foot on it and just start, you know, you need leverage.
It works really well. I was impressed with that.
So yeah, you couldn't do that though, because you change your pedals out too much.
I don't put Velcro in half of mine. Cause I know they're only going to be there for like 45 minutes after the set. Yeah. I'll be done.
My favorite was when I first started working here and you were like, hey, take these pedals home. You got to get to know them, you know, feel free, whatever. And I looked at you serious as a heart attack, and I was. I said, can I put these on my pedal board? And I didn't know you, because mm-hmm. I didn't know how to take you. And you go, you're like, yeah, I'm cool with that. Just don't step on them. And I looked at him like, are you serious?
He's like, reaching down and touching.
It's like, I got to reach down. That's going to be hard if I'm doing a gig. But another thing that... Man, I didn't realize how anal retentive I am until we started talking about this. I get like one of the lint rollers and get the dog hair off on mine.
I could see you doing that.
Oddly enough, that's how Velcro was invented.
For real?
For real, yeah. It was a dog groomer. They're grooming their dog with their comb. They saw that the dog hair is porous and it's stuck to the teeth of the comb. And that's how they invented Velcro.
This has turned into an educational Velcro episode.
That's today's fun fact corner.
Yeah. Velcro factoids. But
I think another great thing another great thing you can do with the existing pedals you have is just arrange them different. You
know yeah. I mean? Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, for example, if you've had, let's say you've got two overdrives and a distortion, you've mm-hmm. always had them in that. And that sequence, mix things up, see what happens.
Yeah. And you know? That's what I tell people too. I think a lot of people I have a buddy that, you know, Facebooked me, and he was like, hey man, here's my pedals. What order should I put them in?
Right.
And of course there's a, you know, suggested order, and it's actually right. on the Wampler Pedals website yeah. somewhere. It's really
basically, you know, like cleanish stuff. So compressor would be first, then mm-hmm. dirt, then heavier dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and that's not a rule. That's just like my preference, basically.
Might be a blog about
it. And then time stuff. So
did you blog about that?
I think so.
Max actually wrote a blog about it.
And then delay, then reverb, yeah. then amp,
yeah,
then but, speaker,
yeah,
then audience.
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Since you're playing blues or not.
Yeah.
Just that one guy.
Dude, how was your open jam?
It was fun, man. It was.
Any harmonica?
Oh gosh, dude, there was this dude.
Hammer?
No. I won't even need to say his name. He showed up with a fedora, sunglasses, bowling shirt, and played harmonica and sang a song he wrote on the way to the jam.
Was it 1-3-5-7-2-1-2?
No, it was actually, no, but it was. He was like, all right, I want to start. Dun, 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 dun. So, like, we come in, and then he starts singing, like, on the four where the one mm-hmm. should be.
Yep.
So it was like, what? It's like, dude, you counted us in.
Right.
You know, but no, it was good. I had, you know, special guest out playing with me, this guy named Doug Henthorne, who's incredible.
Oh man, he was playing open jam with you?
Yeah. Because we do a side project thing, and
that's pretty cool for him to do something like that, though.
Yeah, exactly.
He's
yeah.
done. He's played with God.
Almost. Yeah,
I mean like tons of really.
Yeah, he's on a. If there's any Joe Bonamassa fans out there, and they've watched that. What's it called? Tour de Force.
Sure.
Yeah, he did that. Yeah, that DVD or whatever. But Doug actually toured just with Bonamassa.
Amazing guy, too. Amazing yeah. player, amazing singer.
Yeah,
amazing
so.
Hair
and like, amazing as you say, hair and great hair.
Yeah. But no, so that was fun. And then you know, the crowd was pretty cool. We played the same place Tuesday, and we made almost as much money in tips as we did. For the gig.
Really?
Because this lady came up and she was like, I'm so sorry, because it was a very rambunctious crowd. She's like, I'm so sorry, these are clients of mine. What? I'm so sorry. And then she just laid a Benjamin right down.
Really?
And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, sweet.
There Make some more noise.
Yeah, and then people saw that there was tips, and then like people come up with like a couple bucks and they'd see that on there. They'd be like, oh, I
can't be cheap.
I better drop a 20 here.
So that's a secret. I just need to start bringing $100 bills to my gig already.
Yes.
That's the secret. Yeah, just throw $100 down in there.
Sad thing is, though, is that is kind of a little tip. A lot of people don't know. Like, if you bring a tip jar, get a clear one, and then add a couple singles in there so it looks like somebody's already tipped you, people are more apt to tip off that.
I bet.
Because it's not as awkward like if somebody else already has.
Yeah. I can imagine that.
There you go for your gigging musicians out there. And that's how you improve your pedal board.
Velcro the chip jar.
Yeah, exactly.
Velcro the chip jar. That's a great idea.
So if you guys have any suggestions or comments or, you know, any ideas of how other people or even us, you know, could improve our pedal board, shoot us an email at podcast@wamplerpedals.com. Also, check us out on social media, facebook.com/ChasingTonePodcast and ChasingTonePodcast on Instagram. I'm Travis.
I'm Max.
I'm Brian.
And leave anything out? I think that's good, right? No?
I think that's it.
All right, cool. Thank you guys so much for listening.